spiritual life. The subhuman species, those living entities, those who are in a state which is below human consciousness, cannot even consider the spiritual reality. It is a very special prerogative that has been offered to the human beings. In that respect, according to the Vedas or in the Vedas, consciousness has been divided into five different levels or five different categories. There is the lowest form of consciousness is called covered consciousness. The plants and trees, creepers, they fall in that category. We can see that they are conscious. We can see that even a plant is a living entity and there is consciousness. But we can barely make out that they are conscious. Their consciousness therefore has been identified or classified to be in the covered state of consciousness. Then the second category is called the shrunken state of consciousness. The insects up to the animals, they fall in that category. They're conscious. We can see that an ant is conscious, a mosquito is conscious, a cockroach is conscious, a snake is conscious, a bird is conscious, an animal is conscious. But their consciousness is covered. Their consciousness is in a shrunken state. Now, when one gets a human form, they get a very special advantage in this form. Like, although human beings are also in a shrunken, although human consciousness also is in a shrunken state, but they have the ability to expand their consciousness. Therefore, human beings fall in the category of bud state of consciousness. A bud has its petals in a shrunken state, but the bud has the ability to bloom into a flower. Now, for a bud to bloom into a flower, it needs some special condition. A bud is actually meant to bloom into a flower, provided it is exposed to the sun under the shelter of water. If the water is not there, the sun will dry out the bud. And if the sun is not there, if only water, then the bud will rot. So it needs these two considerations. Sun, exposure to the sun under the shelter, within the shelter of water. So, human beings similarly, when they have these two special conditions of being exposed to Krishna, who is compared to the sun, under the shelter of the spiritual master, who is compared to the water here, then that consciousness begins to, that bud begins to bloom. So that is the fourth stage of consciousness, called the blooming state of consciousness. And then when one becomes fully Krishna conscious, then it is a fully bloomed state of consciousness. So these are the five different categories of consciousness. And The human beings therefore have a very special opportunity which is not available for anyone else. But at the same time, human beings are subjected to a massive onslaught by Maya. Although in one hand they have this wonderful opportunity to develop their consciousness and become spiritually enlightened and go back to their constitutional position in the spiritual sky, but for the human beings, the illusory energy of the Lord has created an extremely difficult situation. That difficult situation is the human being has a tendency or have the opportunity to lord over the material nature as if like he is the supreme controller. And that is how, in one hand, the Maya is creating this extremely difficult hurdle for a living entity to cross. In one hand, there is the wonderful opportunity to make his life successful by going back to the spiritual sky, becoming free from all his material entanglements. And at the same time, there is an incredible allurement caused by the illusory energy of the Lord, which is keeping him entrapped in this material nature. Therefore, the human beings have to be very careful to be in the right association, because ultimately it's a matter of association. You're in the wrong association, you'll be dragged into the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya. And if you're in the right association, then you will be placed in the proper spiritual situation whereby you can make spiritual advancement and make your life successful. Especially in this age of Kali, this process of becoming spiritually enlightened has become very, very easy. It's become extremely easy. The process is so simple that you can just submit yourself to the process. And in simple words, I can just tell you that you just join ISKCON and you can be completely convinced that you are going to go back to God. It's as simple as that. It's not that I'm trying to exaggerate something or trying to blow the trumpet of our institution. It's as simple as that. Why? Because in ISKCON you will get the right association, the right spiritual association. In ISKCON you'll get the right guidance provided by the books of Srila Prabhupada. In ISKCON you'll get all the facilities to always be absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engaged in his devotional service. So the illusory energy of the Lord is very strong in this material nature, especially in this age. But Srila Prabhupada has created this wonderful arrangement in the form of this institution of ISKCON, where you just stay here and your spiritual life will automatically blossom. And this is the inconceivable good fortune that has been created by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada sometimes, or rather at one time, at least I can remember, Prabhupada mentioned that in ISKCON everyone is a pure devotee. And some devotees questioned Srila Prabhupada, everyone is a pure devotee in ISKCON, even a new bhakta is a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, yes. And then Prabhupada says, so just a matter of a green mango and a ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if it remains in the tree, it will become ripe. Somebody may be a new bhakta now, but if he stays in the tree of ISKCON, in course of time it will become a ripe mango. He will become a pure devotee. It's just a matter of being in ISKCON. Why? Because Prabhupada has made the perfect arrangement If you stay in ISKCON, this you will be subjected to this wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. Like, what actually constitutes our spiritual stability? Being situated in an atmosphere where we can perform our devotional service, practicing the four regulative principles. In this age, what is the most difficult thing? The allurement of Maya is manifest in the form of meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. These are the four pitfalls. And when one indulges in these activities, for him spiritual life is not possible. But when one takes to spiritual life, it's absolutely essential that he must follow these four principles. He must abstain from meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Now, when one is in the association of devotees in ISKCON, does it become difficult? No. It's easy. Our environment is going to prevent us from falling into this, provided we are taking advantage of the association. It's not that devotees don't deviate, it's not that devotees don't fall down, but that's an unusual, undesirable, unexpected situation. But normally, to be in ISKCON means following the four regulative principles. And when you're following the four regulative principles, your spiritual life is intact. And you'll be forced to chant Hare Krishna. You are in ISKCON, you have to chant 16 rounds. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. So, this is how it becomes so easy. This is how it becomes so easy. Now somebody may say, why you are saying only ISKCON? At least I can say that I tried, before coming to ISKCON, I tried various other institutions, various other processes. It didn't work. I didn't even... Anyway, let's not get into that. But to put it in a positive note, I must admit that ever since I joined ISKCON, I found the perfect spiritual platform. And I'm sure those who are following the process within the institution, they know. And in that sense, we can say that in that way, we can say that ISKCON is like a lift. Spiritual sky is very high, high up. Like it's not even like the Empire State Building, the top of entire Empire State Building. It's very, very high. Now how to climb up there? You can take the most powerful rocket, still you won't be able to reach there. So how to go there? But there is an arrangement made by Srila Prabhupada, which is under the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada has created a lift. Now the building may be very high, but if you get into the lift, do you have to do anything? All you have to do is just stay in the lift, and the lift will take you there. So ISKCON is that lift. All we have to do is just get in and stay there. And then we'll hear down the bell and the door will open and we'll find ourselves in the spiritual sky. Now if we consider the material nature is like an ocean. Compared to that ocean, Atlantic or Pacific becomes just a tiny little puddle. Now, how to cross that ocean? Is it possible to swim across that ocean? No matter how big a swimmer we may be, but it won't be possible to swim across this ocean. But if we stay on a ship, then the ship will take us. So similarly, we can say ISKCON is a ship in this material ocean of material nature. And if we just stay on the ship, someday we'll find that we have reached the other end, the spiritual sky. So this is the wonderful arrangement that Srila Prabhupada has made. Now one may say, well, what is the guarantee? Then at least I can say that if you stay in ISKCON, if you stay in the Association of Devotees of ISKCON, doesn't it become easy to at least follow the four regulative principles? Following the four regulative principles is a difficult job. If you're on your own to follow these four regulative principles in this age, it's practically impossible. But when you are in the Association of Devotees in ISKCON, is it difficult? So at least for the sake of following the four regulative principles, you can stay in ISKCON. And this following the four regulative principles are essential for our spiritual advancement. And these are just some practical consideration. But when you go deeper, then we can see the instructions that are provided by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is not giving any concocted ideas as his teachings. Prabhupada used to emphatically say that my authority is that I am speaking on the authority of the Vedas. My authority is from the Vedas. I am simply repeating the instructions of the Vedas. I am simply presenting Bhagavad Gita. I am simply presenting Srimad Bhagavatam. I am not concocting or creating anything new. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself has given the perfect spiritual understanding. Just consider, so scientific it is. Bhagavad Gita is so scientific. Like, what do we find? When we approach Bhagavad Gita, what do we find? First thing we find, the difference between matter and spirit. Is it real? Is it true? Is there these two things existing in this material nature side by side in the world around us? Don't we see, like, consider this harmonium? What's this? It's matter. Inert matter. This microphone, the stand, inert matter. The floor, the wall. But you and I, although our bodies are made of matter, but are we inert? No. We are living. Now what is making the what is causing this difference? Inert matter and living beings. We all are living beings. Now what is causing us to be alive? The simple understanding that we are getting from Bhagavad Gita is that because of the presence of the soul. So in this way we are coming to know about two things. Matter and soul. Matter is dead, matter is inert, matter is unconscious, but soul causes consciousness. It's because of the presence of the soul, this body is alive. In this way, Krishna is pointing out, we are not these bodies. Our real identity is spiritual. And then he is making, he is defining the soul. What is the soul? Krishna is pointing out. The soul never dies. Soul is never born. Who is born? The soul's acceptance of a new body causes the body to be alive, or body to take birth. The body is born, not the soul. And similarly, since the soul is never born, the soul will never die. The soul will transmigrate from one body to another. So in this way, Krishna is pointing out that our actual identity is spiritual. In our actual identity, we are spirit souls, and the souls are immortal. And this body is like a dress. We're just putting on this body, and this body is changing. Every day this body is changing. Every moment the body is changing. Old cells are dying and new cells are generated in this body. Constantly, a change is taking place in this body. The body is changing. But in spite of the change of the body, we are not changing. We are the same person. I, when I was 5 years old, I, when I was 15 years old, I, when I was 50 years old, the same I. I haven't changed. But the body has changed. When I was 5, I had a little body. When 15, I had a young body, and so forth. The body is changing. And in this way, Krishna is pointing out the identity, the spiritual identity of a living entity. And then Krishna defined his identity. Who is he? Krishna is pointing out, yes, you are there, I am there. But there is a difference between you and me. Krishna is telling Arjuna that yes, you also have taken birth many, many times. And I also have appeared many, many times. But the difference between you and me is that you do not remember what happened to you in your past, whereas I remember everything. And in this way, Krishna establishes his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Krishna is emphasizing that you, as my part and parcel, must try to become connected to me. And that connection is established through the process of yoga. And then Krishna in the 6th chapter explained about the Ashtanga yoga system. The controlling the senses. One can become free from the bondage of the body and become situated in his spiritual identity, and thus he can become situated in his relationship with Krishna. But then finally Krishna says that if you talk about relationship with me, then the best way to develop your relationship with me through developing your love for me. Through this loving relationship, when you surrender unto me, that is the best way to develop your relationship with me. Not through this Ashtanga yoga. This is one process, yes. It's a valid, genuine process, but this process is extremely difficult. So if yoga means to develop your relationship with me, the best way to do it by develop your love for me. And that Krishna started to explain from the 7th chapter. At the beginning of 7th chapter, Krishna is telling that now I'm going to tell you something which is the top secret, the greatest secret. I will tell you something. By knowing that, everything will be known. By knowing that, you will get to know me in perfect and complete way. And then Krishna started to explain that this process is so rare that out of millions and millions of individuals, rarely one can succeed in this following process. He's saying that out of thousands of people, rarely one aspire for spiritual perfection. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit yatati siddhai. Siddhi means perfection, spiritual perfection. Out of thousands and thousands of people, rarely one aspire for spiritual perfection. And out of those aspirants, rarely one achieves perfection. And out of the millions of these perfected ones, rarely one gets to know me. So the science that I'm going to reveal to you right now is the process of knowing me, understanding me. Samagrang mang. Krishna is saying, using the expression samagrang mang. Samagra means completely, mang means to me. You will get to know me completely. So it's not only just achieving perfection, but understanding and recognizing Krishna completely and perfectly. And that's the point Krishna is making here, that out of thousands and thousands of people, really one aspires for spiritual perfection. And those who achieve perfection, yogic perfection, really one gets to know me. And here Krishna is saying, you will get to know me. So how rare it is to get to know Krishna, and Krishna is giving the process of getting to know him. So he is beginning with that point, that how rare this knowledge is. And then Krishna again is making this point. He is saying that he is describing this material nature. What is this material nature? Material nature is composed of 8 elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. With this 8 elements, this material nature has been established. But this material nature is inferior. And beyond this inferior material nature, there is another reality which is superior. And the living entities are coming. Speaking about the soul, speaking about the spirit souls, those spirit souls have come from the spiritual sky. So in this way, Krishna is establishing the fact that beyond this material nature, there is another reality, the spiritual reality. And we all have come from the spiritual reality. And this way he just keeps on explaining, what is the spiritual reality? In that spiritual reality, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the spiritual reality also, there are two types of living entities. One is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the other is his expansions. The expansions also are of two kinds. One is his identical expansion, and another one is partial expansion. In this respect, an example has been given, like that of a sun, that of the sun. The sun is the source of all light, and innumerable rays are coming out of the sun. The sun and its rays. Now Krishna is like the sun, and the living entities are like his rays. We all are like a ray of the sun, a ray of Krishna. The qualitatively, the ray also is identical to the sun, but quantitatively it's different. A ray is minute, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute. He is the source, he is the origin. And now it can be drawn into another example, another analogy, like the spark and fire. A spark is fire, qualitatively spark is fire, but the spark is tiny fire. When the spark comes out of the fire, what happens? It loses its fiery qualities. And it falls on a heap of ash, it becomes ash. It was fire, but when it was fire, only as long as it was in contact with fire. The moment it became isolated from fire, it lost its fiery qualities. So similarly, we are like a spark, spiritual sparks. Like them, as long as we are in connection with Krishna, we remain spiritually situated. The moment we become isolated from Krishna, we lose our spiritual qualities. And falling in this world of matter, we become matter. We start to identify ourselves with matter, just like as we are doing now. This body made of matter, we are thinking, this body is me. We are identifying ourselves with matter. Why? Because we have become isolated from Krishna, separated from Krishna. Now the spark has lost its fiery qualities because it has become isolated from the fire. Now if the spark has to become fire again, what it has to do? It has to become connected to the fire. Take that speck of inflammable particle and put it back to the fire, what will happen? It will become fire again. So because we have become isolated from Krishna, we lost our spiritual qualities. and we are identifying ourselves with matter. But if we become connected to Krishna again, then we will regain our spiritual qualities. Makes sense? Whatever Krishna says makes absolute sense. That's why what we have to do now, the reason, the cause of our materialization is because of our isolation from Krishna. Now if we want to become reinstated in our spiritual identity, what do we have to do? We have to become connected to Krishna. Right? Yeah, you're hearing some wise comments from the back.
Thank you.
Very good. So that's what we have to do. And that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's final instruction is surrender unto me. Because the surrender is what is going to constitute our connection to Krishna. That surrender is the beginning of that connection. Our separation is caused by our defiance to Krishna. We rejected Krishna. Now acceptance of Krishna will be displayed by our surrender to Krishna. Just surrender. And Krishna is not an inert little object. Krishna is the supreme conscious personality of Godhead. He is all cognizant. He knows everything. He knows what's going on within our hearts. In everyone's heart what's going on Krishna knows. Therefore when in our hearts with all sincerity we surrender to Krishna, Krishna recognizes that. And Krishna says, okay, fine. I'll take care of you, don't worry. And that's the assurance Krishna is giving. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami ma sucha. I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Don't worry about it. Now this is the final instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya. Surrender unto me, giving up all your nonsense. That's what Krishna is saying. Surrender unto me, giving up all your so-called duties, so-called responsibilities, so-called religious convictions. And I will take care of you. That's the final instruction that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita. But then comes Srimad Bhagavatam. Where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. The Bhagavad Gita ended with Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Dharma Prajjita Kaitava Atra. When you have given up all this so-called nonsense dharmas, and your heart has become completely purified, then you will get to know me. Beddam Vastavam Atrapastu. You will get to know the absolute reality. See the link? Where Bhagavad Gita ended, from that point Srimad Bhagavatam begins. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving a very clear understanding of who Krishna is and how we can become related to Krishna with the most loving, most intimate loving relationship. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. I can go on and on and on for hours, but now I leave it up to you. Now you cultivate it and carry on forward. Read Prabhupada's books and you will see what a treasure, what a wealth Srila Prabhupada has given us through his books. The perfect spiritual understanding. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet is the most perfect and the most wonderful shelter. There cannot be anything beyond that. Just that shelter is going to give us the perfect spiritual revelation. And ultimately, yeah, it is a consideration of revelation. It is not going to be, we are not going to intellectually assimilate it. It will be revealed in the heart. We practice the process and the revelations will come. Krishna will become a reality. within our heart. And as that happens, our faith will become stronger and our surrender will become deeper and our commitment will become more and more sincere. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes? You see, it's not a matter, these deeper things is not a matter of explanation, it's a matter of realization. Like you practice and you'll see how ISKCON is not different from Krishna. Because to be in ISKCON, it means to be at the lotus feet of Krishna. To be in ISKCON means to have that loving embrace of Krishna. To a layman, you won't be able to make him understand. Can you make a hungry man understand how it feels when one is when one has had a nice square meal or delicious Sunday feast? Let him taste it and let him realize it himself. You can't intellectually make him understand, look, this is what's going to happen. He'll never understand. Rather, he will say, look, my stomach is empty, is burning. Don't give me those intellectual stuff. Give me some real stuff, the food. Any other question? Yes? Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, at least recognize the importance of being in the lift and never slip out of it. Try not to slip out of it. And you know what's the best way to do that? Just hold on to the next passenger. And that's what ISKCON is actually providing. You don't even have to hold on. The moment your next passenger will see that you are about to slip out, they will hold on to you and say, Prabhu, please don't go. So stay on, no matter whatever happens. You know, personally, I consider three instructions from Srila Prabhupada is most important in my life. One is, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Second one is, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And the third instruction is, the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. And I tell you, in my 33 years of ISKCON, there had been many difficulties, but these three instructions have saved me from the most difficult situations. And then I'm seeing how Prabhupada is actually taking care. It's not that the allurements of Maya is not there. That means the temptation of leaving ISKCON is not there. But Prabhupada is making all the arrangements to secure our situation in ISKCON. Thank you. Yes, Hare Krishna.
You mentioned consciousness expansion. Now, how will this consciousness expansion start? How does it start? How do you do it start?
how the consciousness starts.
Starts expanding.
Yeah, as I said, like when you surrender yourself to Krishna under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then the bud consciousness begins to bloom. The consciousness begins to bloom as you surrender yourself unto Krishna, or as you become exposed to Krishna under the guidance of a qualified spiritual master. When you surrender yourself to, like for example, when you came to ISKCON and became exposed to Krishna under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, did your consciousness begin to expand? You have been connected to ISKCON for some time now.
Yes.
Right? So, did you get to know things?
Yes.
Did your consciousness expand?
Yes.
Are you more conscious than you used to be before?
Yes.
Right? So, this is it. Just follow the process. And one day, your consciousness will become fully bloomed. Hare Krishna. Okay, you can have a little kirtan now.